door is closing.
What's up? This is Happy Hour. I am your host, Ryan Happy, and I'm very excited right now to have Tampa Bay radio legend Mason Dixon on the show. What's up, Mason?
Ryan, Happy New Year, my brother.
I am so excited to have you on. I moved to Tampa Bay 10 years ago, and when I would drive to go do some stuff with Calta, I would go through the radio waves, and I always liked listening to your morning show, and then I liked listening to you in the afternoon. I've always been a fan of the old school style of radio that you bring.
Now you're going to start making me feel old here.
Yeah, I'm trying. I'm trying not to, but what do you think of radio?
Well, let me tell you, what's happened to it now is getting really scary. You know, and some will call it old school, what we used to do.
Yeah.
But what we used to do is entertain people on the air. The most exciting thing was not, 100 minutes of commercial-free music. It was the fact that you were going to do something special. You were going to interview somebody. You were going to have a, special guest on. You're going to be talking about what's going on in Tampa Bay. And you had to do that, in moderation. You obviously couldn't take a music show and turn it into a talk show, but you've got to have some entertainment value. And today it's just, it's voice tracked, and it's voice tracked from another market. And it's okay, let me read this liner over an 8-second intro and think you're entertaining people, and you're not. And radio, unfortunately, today, when they start trying to be these, we're your commercial-free radio station. No, you're not. You're playing probably 12 to 15 minutes of commercials every hour. And unfortunately, if you do them on the bow ties, which is radio speak for across the quarter hour of the first and second hour, half hour of the show,
yeah,
across the 15s and across the 45s, you're running 6 minutes of commercials or more all in a row. So you can't call yourself commercial free. And when you try to play 100 minutes of music commercial free, which all that means is you're either going to front load or back load all those spots, because your general manager and your sales manager is not going to let you drop all those commercials because you got to pay the bills. So you're in a catch 22, and you cannot compete with the internet to try to be a music monster. Internet got you beat. I mean, I've even got an internet radio station that runs 24/7, plays nothing but 80s music and some 70s in there as well. And don't even try to compete against it, because you can't win. So what do? You entertain. And if you're not going to entertain, I'm telling you, your radio station is going to end up like what we're looking at today with radio companies on the verge of bankruptcy, or the fact that they're already in bankruptcy. And it just breaks my heart, because they've chased themselves right down this rabbit hole, and there's no light at the end of that tunnel. I'm sorry, there isn't.
I think the problem, I've gone to about 7 morning show boot camps, and I went to my first one in 2013. And even back then, they were talking about, where's the next up-and-coming talent with millennials? Because at that point, Gen Z was like 12 years old. But even at that point, they were like, when's the next up-and-coming talent? And I've been to all these boot camps, and it's like, I don't know if radio doesn't want to invest in it or what it is, but it feels like there's a lot of like people that could have been given shots. Like, it just feels like the millennial and Gen Z generation, A, it feels like they kind of got overlooked, and B, because radio didn't give them the opportunities, everybody was like, well, I'll just do a podcast. And I think radio waited too long to integrate with podcasts. I think they were threatened by it, but they should have teamed up with it. Because when I talk to a lot of 20-year-olds that I'll see out and about, they all think radio's lame. I will always love radio, because it was the only entertainment I had growing up in the 90s and 2000s, because we didn't have TV in the house. But for a lot of these kids that were born in 2004, 2003, when they were 5 years old in 2008, radio was beginning to die, so they never heard good radio.
No, they didn't. In a lot of cases, they went to their iPods and everything else to start getting their music. And now, the telephone, the cell phone brings the music in, because all of your Spotify's and all of your other things, you know, I've got apps all over the world that play both my Christian hit music stations, my streaming station, The Faithful Road, and play Mason-Dixon Generation 80s all over the world. And so it's at your fingertips whenever you want it. And if that's what you're looking for, but here's the problem that I see.
Yeah.
And God knows I'm not the ultimate expert at it, although I've been in it quite a while, and I have seen it go up, and I'm seeing a downfall now that scares the heck out of me. But if you don't get some entertainment on the radio, the younger end, they're gone. They're already over on, as you said, they're already over on podcasts. They're over on all that streaming because they don't want all of the crap. Well, you can't compete with that. I'll tell you who still listens to radio. And it's an audience of just about somewhere around 30, 38 to 45 year olds and up. They still listen to radio. They'll turn it on. They want some entertainment. Some of them want all talk radio, and that's good. There's still some talk radio out there. Unfortunately, that's dwindling down too, because all they're doing with that is just syndicating national shows in. And, you know, if they're not talking what you want to hear, you're going, let me find an app here that I want to listen to. And boom, they're gone. But the older audience still loves radio. They grew up on it. They grew up on great radio stations like Q105 that have so much entertainment and so much value and so much community involvement and spirit. You know, we were everywhere. We had our vans out on the road. We'd have the street team out at an intersection in the afternoon just waving the banner for the radio station. Now stations, if they're lucky, if they have a street team, they're even luckier if they have a station vehicle that has a logo on it. I mean, the last two remotes I've done, the van that came out was one of our other stations in the chain. It wasn't the Q105 van because it's broken down. And I don't think they're going to fix it. You know, they've got other priorities right now. And, you know, spending that money on a vehicle, they're not going to do that. I mean, you know, you got stations with broken down control boards. We had a load of those at Q105. And I'm sure that's not the only station. And I'm not picking on Q105. I'm still a part of that station. It's kind of their ambassador. But I see these things that are happening. And it just really breaks my heart, because it could be better, but these owners that went out and overspent, bought too many radio stations,
yeah,
can't handle them all, and they're all sitting out there going, we got these five stations in just outside of Birmingham in this little town, and we're just going to syndicate them from different markets. Well, do you think the people that live in that little small Birmingham town give a rat's rump about what's going on in Tampa, Florida, or Los Angeles, or Dallas, or whatever? No, they don't. And we're just chasing down that rabbit hole, and it really scares me. If a lot of these owners would see if they could find mom and pop people, give them a deal in these smaller markets and medium markets, because it's going to have to start there. Go to these medium markets and sell these radio stations to a mom and pop, you know, and let them turn it back into what radio was all about in the beginning. And I think there can be a lot of excitement that starts because, hey, all of these great talents that dominated the 70s, 80s, and 90s in radio, and after that, it kind of began to, there were still a lot of them around, don't get me wrong, but it was beginning to change. But these talents from the 70s and 80s, where do you think they came from? Little small towns in the 60s and 70s, like me, starting in Grenada, Mississippi, and moving to Chattanooga, and then to New Haven, and then to Memphis, and then to L.A., and San Diego, and then Tampa, and yada, yada, yada. That's where these talents came from. And right now, you can't find a small market radio station or a medium small market station that's even live, except maybe one show. And did you see the heartbreaker last week? And I've been involved with Christian Hit Radio for a while as kind of a sidelight.
Yeah.
It's something that's been very special to me with my Faithful Road. And I just watched Salem sell off a load of great radio stations, KLTY in Dallas, The Fish in Atlanta, and some of their... These were locally programmed to those markets. So what's going to happen? EMF bought them out. They're going to put in their syndicated Air One or K-Love or whatever it is, and you're going to have a radio station. Oh, yeah, it's going to play great Christian music, but it ain't local anymore. And if you want to call and pray for somebody in your community, good luck getting through to Air One and K-Love. You know what I mean?
Well, it's crazy. EMF bought out 97.9 The Loop. They bought out all these other rock stations. I don't even know. Like, it's like whenever a format flips, I always wonder if it's EMF. They have so much money to buy everything. It's crazy.
Well, they do. And I thought Salem was hanging in there.
Yeah.
Especially with great stations like The Fish in Atlanta and KLTY. And there's a bevy of others that were a part of that deal, but they just said, you know what? There's another place for us, and I'm seeing it because my Faithful Road station has been picked up worldwide, and it is on numerous apps in Europe, Asia, Africa, Russia, places that you would never expect Christian radio. And because I put my email address on there. We also take donations because we want to keep it commercial free. And I get not only donations, but I get emails, I get letters, I get text messages from all over the world. I had one come in today that, some folks that were listen to us in Iceland and just love the radio station. So, I could see where Salem said, you know what it costs me to keep these stations on the air, to feed that transmitter, to feed all these air personalities, yada, yada, yada. We can make just as much money or more by being smart and doing it the other way. Let somebody else have the sticks. And I've said for years that in these last few years that it scares me that in another 5 to 10 years, those big antennas out there and those 100,000-watt FMs and 50,000-watt AMs and when yada, 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 they're going to be worthless.
Well,
just absolutely worthless.
What I think happened from what I read from RadioInsight.com was that they were in debt. And they sold it to pay off all their debt, which is what makes me annoyed about the radio business is it's like, so these hardworking talent have to get screwed over because you didn't know how to manage your money, you know?
Well, that started with Clear Channel, which became iHeart.
Yeah.
When they started buying up every radio station in America, I said, then this is the beginning of the end because they're not going to be able to run them. And they started that wheel and spoke theory, which is, to a certain extent, you know, iHeart still uses today, only even more so. They have their tier 1, 2, 3, and 4 talents. Tier 1 is your guy who's syndicated live in a whole bunch of markets at the same time. Tier 2 is your guys who are syndicated in a lot of markets, not necessarily live, could be voice tracked. Tier 3 gets into local talents that are pretty good, and tier 4, you're expendable, and nobody's hiring. There isn't a company right now in broadcasting who's hiring. They haven't been hiring for over a year, and I don't see that they're going to hire. because even if this change in politics and change in the White House and change in the way we do things has a positive movement, which we all hope it does, because if it doesn't, God forbid where we're going. But if it does, if you think you're going to flip the switch on this and the economy is going to be roaring again in the next 30 minutes, I got news for you. Ain't going to happen. And so the guys that can't hang in there and the radio companies that can't hang in there, I mean, when you think about the fact that George Soros, and I'm not getting into politics, but this is a guy who has a less than stellar reputation. This guy came in with all of his mega millions and millions of dollars and bought up the second largest radio chain in America. How did that happen? How in the world did that happen? This guy is European. They had to make changes in the FCC law to allow him to own those radio stations.
It's crazy.
I'm stunned. I'm still stunned. Because if you don't think all of those talk stations that are a part of that company he just bought are not going to all of a sudden change from airing, Sean Hannity and Glenn Beck and some of these conservative guys, if you don't think they're going to be off the air in that chain in a heartbeat, I got news for you. It's happening.
Well, it's just crazy because it's like, I feel like radio was meant to entertain people and it just feels like a lot of people messed it up, you know?
Well, Ryan, they have, and it's greedy. When the economy was good and all these mom and pop people, and I worked for some really good ones when we were at Mix 96, kind of in between our times that we were at Q105, we were at Mix 96. You know, Bob and Norm owned the stations, and they had a little handful of stations, and they ran them right. You know, they didn't cut the profit margins. They kept it where, you know, they were reinvesting into the stations. They give them promo money. They pay money for good jocks so they could have good ratings. But, you know, along comes Clear Channel going, you know, I'm going to give you, I can just hear, you know, the Clear Channel guys. I knew them well. I'm not taking a shot at them, but I could hear the boss, because when he came in and took over our station, well, you know, we got this map here in Texas, and we've got all these stick pins up there, and we're putting a stick pin in and all these markets where we're buying these stations. They were going crazy. They were offering stupid money. And, you know, if you're a mom and pop guy, you look at this and go, I'm about to make millions on something I have hundreds of thousands invested in. What would you do? Well, that's what they did. Bob and Norm sold out. So did every other little small mom and pop organization that was doing real radio. They said, Clear Channel, you can have it. And Clear Channel took it. And it was a slow degradation. And trust me, I'm not picking on Clear Channel or iHeart or anybody in particular, because it's permeated the industry. And they're not investing in talent. They don't want talent. They want a voice track. They might put a live morning show on, and then they voice track the rest of the day in so many of these places. And it's sad. It breaks my heart. I wish I could tell you that there is light at the end of the tunnel. Yeah. I don't see it. Not yet. Maybe it'll come. You know, I was hoping that some of these companies that were so broke they couldn't even pay attention might finally just say, you know what, let me see if I can – is there a mom and pop, you know, who'd like to buy an AM, FM, or a couple of FMs that we own in Asheville, North Carolina, for example?
Yeah.
If they want to come in and run it, local, and do what's right with it. I tried to buy, because I have we love North Carolina. We have a second home just outside of Asheville in Waynesville, Maggie Valley area. And this is back 10 plus years ago. There were mom and pop stations still in Asheville, and there was actually one in Waynesville, an FM in Waynesville, that had a it had a great signal for Waynesville, Maggie Valley, and that area, and it would just ease into the western limits of Asheville. Well, there was a guy who came in. We were negotiating to buy it. I had a good friend of mine who had money, and he says, hey, I'll put you in a radio station. You can have your own station. And I wanted to set up a storefront in downtown Waynesville with a glass window where they could see the jocks and see the radio station happening. Remember when we used to do that in radio?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you would have these glass fronts, and you would have your radio station there, and they could come in. They could see the jocks. They could wave at everybody, and it was cool. But, you know, that went away. What are you going to do? Have a storefront window that shows your computer sitting there playing your music? You know.
Yeah.
And I wanted to do that at that time. And this was 10, 15 years ago. But a guy came in and offered stupid money for the radio station because he saw the potential that the stick could be moved from where it is in Canton, or actually I think it's in Clyde, which are the two little towns between Waynesville and Asheville, that it could be moved closer to Asheville and you could cover the entire western half of Asheville and thumb your nose at Waynesville and Maggie Valley. Nobody cares about those little bodunk towns. We want to be in Asheville. The guy was wanting to sell it for, I think it was about $450,000, and it was a good signal. This guy came in and offered $1.1 million for it and took it from us. And guess what he did with it?
What'd he do?
3 months later, he sold it to Clear Channel for $5 million.
That's ridiculous.
There isn't enough revenue in that entire area to justify a $5 million debt on that one radio station. But the Clear Channel wanted to have it. They wanted to own that market. And so they bought it. And, you know, the station just kind of lays there now. You know, it syndicated the John Boy and Billy from Charlotte,
yeah,
on the station in the mornings. And it's been through two or three different formats. And it's a nothing station anymore. And it breaks my heart. We could have bought it for what my guy was going to pay for it, but this guy paid him twice what it was worth, and Clear Channel came in and paid it 80 times what it was worth. And that's the mentality that basically killed radio, because it happened there. It happened all over the country. And then all of a sudden, well, you notice that the Mays family, when the going got tough, and the people that had their debt came looking for it, the Mays family bailed out. They were the Clear Channel. It was the Lowry Mays and his sons that were running it. And they got out. They sold it to an other people's money group and converted it. It became moved from Clear Channel to iHeart. And then, of course, that same group had all the money. They started buying all of the concert venues around the country so that they could control live concerts. And they just got into so much stuff they couldn't handle it all. And it started to bite them on the butt. And, you know, they right now, you know, you've got some fat cats there that are making some good money in Clear Channel. But you have a lot of people that, because they're still the big gun. And it's the only reason I bring them up. I'm not taking a shot at them. You know, but they're the big gun, and they're in a heap of trouble. You know, their stock is what, a little over $1 a share?
Yeah,
dollar,
it's crazy.
$1.80, $1.90, something like that. You know, I've watched some of these companies go down to 10, 15 cents a share and get bumped off the stock exchange.
Oh, yeah.
And when they do that, they end up selling. And that's exactly what happened to the group that sold out to George Soros.
So,
you know, they were some. They weren't just broke. They were so broke they couldn't only pay attention. They couldn't pay anything.
So I've done a lot of research about like Tampa radio in the '80s and nineties, and I've listened to a lot of your air checks on YouTube. And when I was doing traffic, I'm a fill-in traffic reporter at Beasley, And whenever I do Friday afternoon at a 5 p.m. report, I always try to do some form of the Friday chant, but doing it in my own way where I'll be like, it's Friday. Now, where did the Friday chant begin? Because I've listened to a lot of your air checks on YouTube, and it just sounded like it was a fun time in radio.
Oh, listen, I would have a blast with that. I mean, we would completely, we go crazy in the afternoon, and people absolutely loved it. We'd blow the 5 o'clock whistle. You know, I'd have the entire radio station come in the control room, and we'd do the Friday cheer together. And, you know, we'd play Friday on My Mind, Working yeah. for the Weekend, you know, and a whole bevy of tunes there that would run for about 20 minutes. And, before we stopped to do a break. And it was fun. And there were times when it became heartfelt because it was coming up on Christmas time. And one of the little girls who disappeared back during the time when, I can't even remember his name now, the murderer was running rampant through Florida. And this little girl had disappeared. They'd been looking for her. And they found her. They found her body on that Friday. And when I was doing my show, it was a little more somber than usual. But when it got to 5 o'clock, I said, listen, people, I can't do the Friday cheer today. So many of us were hoping and praying and putting reward money out, trying to find this little girl. And she turns up dead. We're not going to celebrate the Friday festivities today. And I said, we're going to have a moment of silence. And I played that Mannheim Steamroller Silent Night song. And you could hear, you just knew it was happening. You could hear people crying all over Tampa Bay. They felt it. They knew it. And that's the kind of stuff we did. That's why my wife and I later on in the 90s started our Mason-Dixon Christmas Wish Fund to help families and give back to an area that's been so good to us. And we've raised over $2 million since we started this charity. And it all goes back out to families. Pat and I don't take a dime from it. We don't make anything from it. I don't want to make anything from it. I want to take it, give it out. Trans-Siberian Orchestra has helped us out in the same way. But those are the kind of things that you stop and do, and you capture the heart of people when things happen. When crazy things happen, back in the 80s, when the three county commissioners got caught pulling zoning deals, you know, they found out that there was going to be an interstate. This is when you came into Tampa, you came in on 275. There was no Interstate 75 down through Hillsborough County. I don't know if you're old enough to remember that, but there was no I-75 down through there. It started south of Tampa. So what we did, what these guys did, they knew the interstate was coming. So they went out there and bought all that land and rezoned it around so that they could do it. And they got caught what we called zoning. And we made fun of these guys. I even recorded a song to the tune of that country thing that had come out called Swingin'. And I changed it to Zonin'. And we put this thing out, and people went crazy. They loved it. They heard that thing on the radio. They couldn't hear enough of it. And that's the kind of stuff that endears you to the community. And that's why there's people out there today that will, you mentioned Q105. Oh my God, I grew up on Q105. You guys were the best and yada, yada, yada. There's not a lot of stations that have that kind of thing. Every now and then you'll have a big market station that has that kind of legendary status. And I'm just so proud to have been a part of that in those days, you know, working with Scott Shannon and Cleveland and Bobby Rich and all the different jocks that we had throughout the years, you know, Cat Summers, who's now a big part of Sirius XM radio. He uses his real name, Milan Stojanovic, which he calls himself Cadillac Jack now, or one of those Cadillac things. He's got a half dozen different names that he voices the different formats on Sirius XM. And I remember one of the funniest things we ever pulled off one night is we took his jock shingle. Jingle, you know, you used to have a jock shout, where the jingle singers would go, Cat Summers.
Yeah.
And then they would sing, Q105. We had those singers do his real name, Milan Stojanovic. And so we were just all sitting by the radio watching and waiting to see what he did when that jingle played. And the boy freaked out. It was hilarious. But that's the kind of stuff you do. People laugh. If you can't laugh at yourself, you're not going to make other people laugh at you either. And that's the one thing that we did so much of at Q105. And it just was a fun time in radio. We had, let me tell you how many employees we had.
How many?
We had for Q105 and for the AM, because remember we took over WLCY. For a while it was a news station, News One, and then when the FCC allowed us to simulcast, we just simulcast on the AM and the FM. We had almost 100 employees at that radio station.
No way.
We had 5 engineers, full-time. Now, this station was billing almost $20 million a year back in the 80s, which was darn near unheard of. And it took $10 to $11 million of that to run the station. But you know what? That's what made the station. You were operating at about a 50% or slightly less profit margin. But when Clear Channel came along, they started trimming all of that at their stations. No, we want a 60%. We want a 70% profit margin. No, we want an 80% profit margin. Where do you think that comes from? Cut out the people. Cut out the services. Cut out this. Cut out that. We got to have this money. Because we just spent $100 million to buy your radio group. Well, the problem is, when you look at the real dollars that radio group was bringing in, it was 10, maybe 20, maybe $30 million. So you spent $100 million. What are you going to do to make your money back? You're going to cut. And that's what radio is doing. They cut, they cut, they cut. And I'm not the only guy who's ever said this, because I'm not a genius in how money works and the stock market and everything else.
Yeah.
But it takes an old country boy like me to know you cannot cut your way to profit.
Joe Rogan says you need to invest in your success. And I think that's just perfectly said, that like, if you're not putting money into things, you're going to get half-assed results.
Exactly. And that's where radio is today. They've been cutting themselves. They've been trying to cut their way in to making a profit. And you lose your good people. You lose the ones that care about the station. You create ill will. And the people that are left there are doing 2 and 3 jobs. You know, you got one guy who voice tracks 3 radio stations, or 4 or 5 or 6. And do you think he gets the salary of 4 or 5 jocks? Oh, no. I think I remember somewhere or another back in when they first started all this voice tracking thing, you would get an extra somewhere between $1,000 and $3,000 if you were full-time voice tracking another radio station. And that eventually worked its way down to $1,000. And I'm not talking about a week or a month, but for the year. Added to your salary, here's an extra grand for you. But I want you to do the same thing that you're doing at this station on 3 more stations.
Yeah, I've seen people do Vox Pro and do voice tracking, and I get why it's there, but to me, it just takes the magic out of being live and living in the moment. It just feels like, because I've seen a lot of people do like I had a friend who did weekends at Hot 101.5 5 years ago, and I would sit and watch him voice track, and he would do like 4 or 5 takes, and that's cool and all, but I feel like even if you mess up for a second on air, that makes for good radio, and I feel like the perfectionist energy that like Vox Pro brings kind of hurts radio in a way.
When we were working for Clear Channel, before they became iHeart, they first put in the profit system,
yeah,
which was that computer written thing. And he said, "Oh, this is going to be great because you can record your, what you're going to say and chop it up and make it tight before you put it on the air." And I looked at the general manager and I said, "Are you nuts? You're not going to be live on the air? If you don't have somebody who can't do a decent break, they've got to record it into profit and then chop it up and put it on the air. You need to fire them."
Yeah, exactly.
Well, guess what? They fired me because I told them they were idiots. And away it went. You know, away it went.
Now, you were never really like a shock jock. You were edgy in a funny but clean cut way. But throughout Tampa radio, there's always been that radio war vibe. I was a part of it when I worked at The Bone 10 years ago. I thought it was kind of annoying. What did you think of that whole radio war mindset?
You know what? I hated it. There was a lot of that stuff that, you know, that radio stations would punch each other back and forth in a playful way. Even back in the 70s, you know, you would do that, but it got ugly. And there were people in the business who saw it as a war strategy.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had that war strategy sprung on us, with at Q105 with all the power pick stuff.
Yes.
You know, that got ugly. There were times people were talking about my mom, my mother,
yeah,
my kids in a derogatory, degrading manner on the air. And, you know, I'm a little Southern boy. I wanted to whoop somebody's ass for doing that.
Oh yeah. I've been a part of it,
but still, and it's just, it's uncalled for. Now, playful fun, I can understand. I used to have playful fun when I first came into this market. When we were at Q105, we would be out at the high school football games with the boogie bus, and it had speakers and it would, you know, play the radio station. And we would go out to the high school football games and let the kids out there know, "Hey, we care about you guys. We're here at your big football game." And one Friday night, it was funny. We finished up, we were coming back across the Gandy Bridge, and the WLCY studios were back in this little swamp area at the end of Gandy, right before you cross from Pinellas into Hillsboro.
Yeah.
And so we pulled up with the boogie bus and shut all the music off. It was very quiet. And the jock had a window with a curtain. He actually look out into the kind of the parking area there of the building. And we sat there and waited until he got into a talk break. And as soon as he got into a talk break, we fired the Q105 music up right outside the window.
Oh my God, it's amazing.
You heard this guy go, what? He kept hearing it, but he didn't know what it was. And immediately he hit the song or the commercial break or whatever it was, and he threw the curtain open. And we just kind of smiled and waved at him a little bit. And of course he flipped us off and we drove on off. You know, that's the kind of fun stuff you used to do. But when you would come over and go through the garbage, trying to find memos and something that you could do dirty on somebody.
Yeah.
Or worse yet, you come up to the radio station and you urinate in their mail slot, which happened to us.
Yeah.
Okay. It's gone too far.
Yeah, and I've had to deal with some stuff with Calta where after I left his show, he got mad at me, even though he said it was cool if I left. And, like, he got my ex involved and stuff. And it was, like, it's almost sad because you're, like, you have to stoop so low for content. Because, like, a lot of times it really teaches me that, like, radio is a business relationship. And a lot of times people will, like, take you under your wing. But it's like you always have to look out for yourself, Mason.
Let there be no doubt about that. You know, and one of the worst things and something that happened to me. And this was awful as well. And I know there was, you know, Caltas had his moments. He was actually working in our company while we were still CBS.
Yeah.
And I had that horrific car accident and almost died.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
this happened on a Saturday. Well, it was all over the news all over the weekend. It was all in the newspapers. Well, come Monday morning, a friend of mine out in Lakeland who worked at one of the muscle car magazine publications, because I had a lot of the muscle cars and stuff, and I was big into that. And he heard it. And the only phone number he had for me was for the station where I used to work. We had already changed, and I didn't have that phone number anymore. So he ended up calling Calta, who was still using Cowhead at that time.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said, hey, I heard about Mason Dixon, and I wanted to call and see if he's okay and find out some information. And Cowhead said this on the air: I'm sorry, he passed away.
Yeah, Andrew's told me about that, because me and Andrew work a lot on the MJ show.
Well, when that happened, it didn't take long. One person to hear it, somebody else to hear it, and whatever. Well, you know who heard it next?
Who?
The phone was ringing. They were calling my daughters, going, gee, I'm so sorry, your dad
died. No, no way, no way.
They had not been at the hospital since Sunday, so they didn't know. And all their school friends were telling them, oh, God, yeah, we heard it this morning. Your dad's died. Well, they're calling my wife, Pat, going, what? And it started a doo-doo storm, to keep it clean. And Charlie Oaks, who was our manager at that time, hit the roof about that. I mean, that was uncalled for.
Oh, for sure.
And so he got suspended. Charlie took him off the air because of it. It took him off the air for a little over a week before we put him back on the air. And you know, to this day, and I've tried to maintain a relationship of sorts, not so much with Calta, but I've actually become friends with Bubba. He and I have been getting along fine in these last decades or so. But, you know, Mike never came to me and apologized for that. Right to my face and to my wife, and say, dude, I was out of line. I'm sorry. He never, ever apologized for that.
I worked with Mike for 7 years, and the guy's the textbook narcissist. Textbook.
I just don't understand. It's always been in the back of my mind. I try to let it go. And yes, would it make a difference if he did it today? Sure, I'd love to hear it. I mean, he several times after we got downsized at the queue a couple of years ago, you know, he said, man, why don't you come on and be on the show with me? And I don't know what he had planned if I came in there to be on the show and do that. I really didn't know. Plus, I had a no compete at the time and I couldn't do it. And I was polite in telling him, you know, Mike, I can't do it right now. I've got legal things that I've got to deal with, but maybe sometime down the road, you know, we'll do that. And I've left it at that. I've not been ugly to him at all, but that's something that has always stuck in my craw, that has gone wrong with this shock jock thing, that it got out of control. And unfortunately today they've reined a lot of it in. Howard Stern is right where he should be on satellite radio, where he can say whatever he wants to say and do whatever he wants to do. Now, of course, that hasn't stopped him from being, you know, what made him Howard Stern.
Yeah.
It's reined in a bunch, and it was so sad, because that was a real ugly period we went through there for a while, with guys firing at each other like that on the air. And I know you had MJ, you had Bubba, you had Calty, you had all these. There was three of them, and man, they were wearing each other out. And I just stayed out of it. That's not me. I wanted to be the family guy.
Yes.
I wanted to make sure that if you had 5-year-olds or 8-year-olds in the car with you while I'm on the radio, I'm not going to say one word that's going to offend them. I'm not going to use a curse word. I'm not going to allude to anything. We're going to do family radio, and that's just me, you know. And I don't say that anybody's wrong for not doing it that way or doing whatever they do. But that was me, and that's what I wanted to do.
Andrew's told me that you're just a very classy guy to work with because, like, you're edgy, you're funny, but sometimes I feel like the shock jock era, they kind of forced sex jokes in that. And like you just said, if you have kids in the car, you're not going to have to worry about explaining what Mason Dixon just said.
Exactly. And I stuck to that always. And I'm sure you, if you read anything that Roxanne said when she left Q105,
yeah,
in what she posted, the first thing she posted about was how much she enjoyed being a part of my morning show and how much I enjoyed having her on the morning show. Bobby and I and Andrew and I treated her like little sister, and we got her through two pregnancies and all of that. But that's the way, that's just kind of the way I've always been. You know, a lot of people always refer to the group that hung around me as Mason's Mafia. Well, it wasn't because the ones that were around me were gunners. It's because we were like a family. It was myself. It was Bill Connolly. It was JoJo Walker. It was Andrew. It was Rico Blanco. And it was Bobby Rich. I pulled Bobby from station to station, and I did the same with Marvelous Marvin, from station to station. And, you know, that's just the way I like to do things. It was like a family. And our little group, we, you know, and a lot of people would, you know, general managers would go, "Oh, here he comes with all of his Mason's Mafia." Well, you know what? It makes it easy to do what you do when all of these people around you contribute to it and make it a deal. And I'd be the first ones to pat on the back the Andrews and the JoJo Walkers and the Ricos and the people that were around me, and give them credit for being stars and give them credit for a lot of success I had in this town is because of the great people that I had around me. And I've seen some interviews as of late with Elon Musk, and it was kind of heartwarming to me to see some of the things that he talks about, how he does his business and how he treats people, and how his first business, he had a bed set up in the plant and he slept there because he wanted the people around him to know he's there. You know, he said, "I had the billions of dollars. I could have been off on a yacht somewhere drinking Mai Tais in an exotic location. But these people were working for me, and I wanted them to know that I was there with them." And that's kind of the way I was with the people around me. I protected them. I kept them shielded from the business crap that went on that I had to deal with. And they were always there if I needed them to help me do something.
Now, what is your take on the Radio Hall of Fame?
I know very little about it, to be honest. I mean, I see posts from the Tampa Bay broadcast thing that is on Facebook.
Yeah, yeah.
Radio Hall of Fame. Hey, listen, I would be honored if anybody would give me accolades for any of the things that I've done. You know, I would be absolutely honored. But am I going to go out and start soliciting for it or trying to... you know, I'm way over that, brother. I'm way over that. You know what? But would I still love to be back on the radio every day? Sure. And the nice part of it is I could do it from the studio. I could do it from my home where I'm sitting here now looking at my studio, and I'm going to have to get off this phone here in a minute.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I have to update the music on my Christian Hit music station, but because it runs out at 7 o'clock tonight and I've got to get those logs done. And I can do it from our place in North Carolina. In fact, I record my 3-hour show, my Mason Dixon Generation 80s. It's syndicated, runs on Q105. It's running on a half dozen or so other stations around the country. I can do the show from here. I can do it from up there. And you can't tell the difference. In fact, when I was doing a lot of my afternoon show or morning show, they would allow me to do it from North Carolina. And we had gotten it down to the point where they would simply, Andrew would set up the control board, and I had full control of wide orbit from up there.
Yeah.
And I could run the spots. I could start the music. All I had to do was hit the mic and talk and continue to do my show like I was standing there in the studio and no one would have absolutely have any idea that I wasn't in that building because of the way we had it set up. And that's the way I wanted it. If it sounded voice tracked, I didn't want to have anything to do with it. I wanted it to sound live, and I did it, and it sounded great.
Well, Mason, it's been a ton of fun having you on the show. I cannot believe that we've been talking for 50 minutes.
Well, that's what happens when you get a blabbermouth like me on here. Other than my family, I don't have many people to talk to anymore. So when I get a chance, I've got a lot to say. And there's probably a lot more. We could talk for another 2 or 3 hours.
Well, Mason, let's do it again. It's been a lot of fun having you on Happy Hour.
Hey, listen, man, thanks for the invite, and good luck to you and everything that you do in radio. And I wish you only the best. And I'm sorry to a certain extent that I threw out, you know, bummer statements and bummer numbers for young people that are wanting to, you know, to push forward with it. But I think you have probably learned now, because of what you're doing right now, where the future lies.
Mason, I appreciate your time. Keep up the good work.
All right, my brother. You do the same, and we'll talk again soon.
All right. Thank you, Mason.
See you, my man.
And that was radio legend Mason Dixon as he called in to Happy Hour. Now, I've worked at many radio stations in Tampa Bay, and if you want to hear more of my show, go to every single major platform and search up Hoppe Radio, H-O-P-P-E. It's kind of like a 1990s, 2000s morning zoo. It's just me. I've won awards, blah, blah, blah. Go to every single platform and search up Hoppe Radio, H-O-P-P-E. It's a mix of talk radio and throwbacks from the 2000s. This has been Hoppe Hour. I am your host, Ryan Hoppe, signing off. Goodbye.
Hoppe Hour. Hoppe Hour.
RyanHoppeRadio.com.
Hoppe Hour will be right back.
Whenever we're going outside, all I smell is poop.
In the nuts, and we'll call it a day.
As a reminder, if you don't feel like listening to this